Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Judy. I'm just waiting. I'm the first one on.
Oh, okay. I'm Sarah. Guess I'm the
Yes. Glad to know you.
Where are you from?
I'm from around Orange, Texas.
Oh boy. I'm from Muncie, New York.
Wow, you're all the way to the top and all the way to the bottom. I'm right on the Gulf Coast. I mean, as far south as you can get.
I don't know if I'm in the bottom. I think I'm more in the middle. This is my first.
How's your weather today?
Well, yesterday was spring, and we're expecting snow.
Wow, it's really warm here. We've got to put fans on here.
Just doesn't
Hello.
end.
Hello,
What?
this is James.
Hi,
Who
Jane.
else?
Hi, Jane.
Hi, who else is here?
Judy. My name's Judy.
And I'm Sarah.
Hello.
Hello and hello. By the way, I forgot to ask my friend. Is it a long distance call for me?
Not if you dial that number that he has. I don't think it is.
So it's not gonna cost on my phone. It's not gonna come on my phone bill. I can't speak. It's not going to show up on my phone bill.
Not the number that he has listed for you to call you. It doesn't.
Okay, I hope not. The money's tight.
I hear you.
I know how you feel. I'm calling through my computer because
Where are you
that way
located?
it's a call for me through my
Where are you
computer.
located?
I'm in Virginia.
Oh boy. We got Virginia, we got Texas, we got Muncie, New York. We got a spread.
That was awesome.
So have you ladies heard this gentleman, this rabbi speak? Because I never have. This is new for me.
Yes, he's
Oh,
very
really?
good. Yeah.
It's very, is he clear? Does he speak in English?
Brandela.
Brandela.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good
Hello.
morning. Good morning.
Hello.
I hope everybody had a beautiful Shabbat and is feeling well.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Please join me in saying Liana Bakoa. The letters of the month of Adar, the Kuf that created the constellation Pisces, Dagim, the fishes in Hebrew, and the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter, the planet of righteousness, justice. And the modern Kabbalists tell us to include the Aleph for unity, and to recognize that those three letters, Aleph, Kuf, and Gimel, represent the modern technology of an EKG, the machine that monitors and alerts us to problems in the emotions, in the heart. Something we have to constantly monitor is our own heart, our own emotions. Are they taking us out of balance? Are they keeping us balanced? Where are we with our emotions? This is the nature and the energy of the month of Adar. especially the month of Adar Bet. Nagibor Dorshe Yehuda Yehuda We're going to use the sequence Yud Kaf Shin to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, back to its root, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated. And then we will again return it to the body in its pristine state as it was created to be. And it will act in that pristine state exactly as it was created to function. Bachem tacharem rakame sitkatcha sami gamlen etekresh tzaditavkimu Kasim kadosh berot tucha ha'el ha'atka ketufet ketunayim yachid geyer lamhasei okrei kiru Yusufalamad Tezayan Kuh Shabbatinu Kabel Mati Akatinu Shomu Deheka Alumo Shin Kufav Sadiyutah. I'm reading the verse from Samuel Betts. Wasamti makom le'amili Yisrael untati v'shatan tachtal v'lo yirgat os v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto kasher balishona. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and be no more. Neither shall the children of wilderness wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first. And the eighth verse, we say in a whisper. I'm now going to read from the Parasha of Tazria, the verse number 14 in the fifth section. Vayihino amadonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adeinu kunenei aleinu ma'asei adeinu kunenei. Kachati b'shata devar na'ashatai. Le'it katsha le'az davka Begnuk ve'ya Biruta kadisha Dileya it'ar Aleya Bulcha kadisha Kalil dekar Benuta Veramis kutsha barichu Lehad shalucha mimana al idu yehu ahon divne nasha umane bideya hahu rucha biodaleya leanatar yifkod leya adahu diktiv V'halayla amar hora Gever halayla amar lahu Mimana Torah Gever mifla Hanya Kukushabarihu Afkid Leyalahu Ruha Kolma Afkid Lehau Muha. Come and see, when a man is about to be sanctified and made with his wife, with his Holy Spirit, with his holy will, the Holy Spirit is aroused upon him, included of male and female. Since he is born and comes from Zerantin and Malchut, that are the secret of male and female, the Holy One, blessed be he, indicates to a minister appointed over the conception of men, and hands him that spirit, and lets him know where to put it. That is the meaning of, and the night which said that there is a man-child conceived. This means that the night, which is Malchut, called night, said to that minister, there is a man-child conceived by so-and-so. So he will put the spirit there. And the Holy One, blessed be he, commands that spirit whatever he does. That is, he makes it swear to be righteous, etc. This has already been explained. My commentary. In the verse, Leviticus chapter 12, verse 2, the beginning verse, second verse in the Parasha Tazria, it uses two Hebrew words. One is Yalda, which is not translated usually in this verse, since its usual translation is a girl child. The second word is Zachar, which is translated as male. Most translators do not know how to explain the verse if it says, if she gets pregnant with a girl boy child. So they ignore the word Yalda and translate it as if she gets pregnant with a male child. What the Zohar is telling us over 2,000 years ago, each soul has aspects of male and female. This wisdom has many different levels. The spirit is given to the minister or angel and told the minister where to put the soul, meaning in which body. It can also mean that it is told to take both aspects of the soul, male and female, and split it into two parts, and put one part in this body and the other part in that other body with the different parents. Also, the Holy One tells the soul what he wants that soul to do within the plan of creation. There is so much wisdom in this one pasuk, in this one verse from the Zohar. Does anybody have any questions before I start today's class? The handout for today is available in a couple of different ways. If you go to the right of any of the Yeshem web pages, you'll find an inquiry called Unique Astrological Times or Events. If you open that page and then scroll down, you will find Rosh Chodesh Adar, and under Rosh Chodesh Adar, a number of links. The last link before Pesach is titled The First Days of Nisan. You can click on that link. The first link under Rosh Chodesh Adar is the preparation for the holidays of Purim, Pesach, Yomer, and Shavuot. You can click on that link as well. If you click on that first link, you'll get to a page where you need to click on the fourth class, because today is the fourth class in our preparation process. If you click on the first days of Nisan, you'll go directly to today's handout. Today's handout follows on the concept of Purim. And it will lead into our discussion of the month of Nisan. And a very unusual ritual that is only available in the month of Nisan. Actually, there are two distinct rituals in the month of Nisan. Actually, there's a ritual for every day of the month of Nisan, as we will soon discover. But let's understand what took place during the Shabbat before Purim. We had the reading of Shabbat Zachor, the Sabbath of memory. The reminder about Amalek. What did Amalek do to us on the way? It attacked the weaker members of our community. What does it mean, the weaker members of our community? Everybody has a different relationship with the Creator based on their desire to receive at this at this particular moment. And that there are some people who have no desire to be with the Creator. They'll intellectually will tell you that they're not sure if there is a Creator. Or they'll even go so far to say, if there is no Creator, such a shalom. Ultimately, the Creator doesn't care. The Creator knows that everyone will grow spiritually to come to understand that there is a Creator and will seek out a relationship with that Creator. The Creator doesn't care if you aren't at that place yet. The Creator knows you will reach that place. The Shabbat of memory, the whole aspect of Amalek, which in the Gematria, the Hebrew Gematria of Amalek is 240, exactly the same as the Hebrew word Safek. Safek means doubt. God is at war with Amalek. He's not at war with the nation of Amalek. He's at war with doubts. He's saying, you need to resist your doubts. And that is the real message of Shabbat Zachor and the reading of the Megillah, of the Scroll of Esther, which really, in its correct translation, means the revelation of the concealed. Who is concealed? Hashem is concealed. He's not mentioned by name in the Scroll of Esther. He's concealed, just as he conceals himself in nature, in our physical world. You've heard this before, but you've not contemplated it, I don't think. You've not really understood what is being said here. The name of God that is the Creator, that was used as creation, is Elohim. And Elohim, or Elohim, has the Gematria of 86. The word for nature in Hebrew has the same Gematria, 86. Hashem conceals himself in nature. This is the revelation that needs to be coming out through the reading of the Megillah. Search for God in nature. Search for God everywhere. Hashem is waiting for you to come high, find him. I've told you this story before, but it's appropriate now before we start the class, or as part of the understanding and setting the tone for this class. One of the Hasidic sages, I don't remember which one, his grandson came crying to his grandfather, his sadist, who was the sage. The little boy is crying. Grandfather is comforting him, holding him, hugging him. Tell me why you're crying. And the little boy, through his tears, through his, can't even breathe to speak, finally gets out this story that he and his friends were playing hide-and-go-seek. And he hid very well, and nobody could find him. And after a while, he came out because nobody found him. And when he came out, he found that his friends had gone off to play another game. They got tired of looking. And the grandfather, the Kabbalist, broke into tears, sobbing, more so than the boy, because he truly felt the pain of the Creator when nobody looks for him. When they get tired, we get tired of looking for Hashem. I'm about to read a Midrash about today. What is this Midrash? What is Purim? Purim is about removing doubts and having certainty. This Midrash is something for you to contemplate. Before I read the Midrash, I'm going to tell you one other, or ask you one other question, something else to contemplate. As part of a spiritual path, as part of spiritual growth, someone is told by their teachers, strive to reach this level, that whatever happens to you, react exactly the same way. If you're crossing the street and someone is crossing the street opposite you, going in the opposite direction, and in the middle of the street walks up to you and hands you 10 $100 bills and walks on, what is your reaction? And most people say confusion, happiness, I don't know why, what is this all about, but this makes me happy. That's the reaction of a human being to good things that happen in their life. The next day, the same human being is walking across the street. Oh, and this time there's somebody also walking the other way. Only this person hits the human being in the face and walks on. Gives him a slap across the chops. It hurts. What is the reaction? I want to do it back to him, revenge. Why did he do it to me? What's going on here? What did I do? What is the human being reaction? And the spiritual teachers, the sages, and I don't care what spiritual path you follow, they all say the same thing. When you're handed the 10 $100 bills and you're happy, that's from Hashem. That's from the concealed, hidden, hiding Creator. And when the person slaps you on the face, that is also from the Creator. Love both actions. Realize they're both from God. They're both from Hashem. Have this certainty. This is the goal that we strive for on a spiritual path. A midrash about today. This midrash was written at least 400 years prior to the beginning of the Muslim religion. Listen closely and learn about true laughter and true certainty. This midrash needs to be published to every person, since this is what will redeem the spiritual people, not just the Jewish people. When the land of Israel, note it does not the modern government of Israel. When the land of Israel is returned to the Jewish people, there will be a religious house of prayer. I'm adding the Muslims. At the location where the Jewish people wish to rebuild the temple, the Jews will go to the children of Ishmael and request them to take down their house of prayer. The children of Ishmael will say no to this request. Just to bring you up to date on some modern news events. But they're really not modern and they're really not news events. The Jewish people are in control of the Temple Mount and have abdicated that control to the Muslims, who have a mosque on top of the Temple Mount. The Muslims control who can go. They do not allow Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount. There is a movement in the Knesset, in the political environment of the government of the modern state of Israel, to modify that. This midrash is moving towards completion. It's moving towards its event. It hasn't reached its culmination, but it's getting closer. When the Jews go to the children of Ishmael, which are the Muslims, and say, take down your house, we want to build the temple, the children of Ishmael will say no to this request. Since the Jews have the control of this location militarily, they didn't make that happen in 1967. They gave the authority to the Muslims. They can take it back at any time. They will swagger and do their thing to have the Muslims take down the house of prayer, the mosque on the Temple Mount. The Muslims, given no choice, will suggest a solution to avoid the teardown and also to avoid war. Now, that doesn't sound like the Muslims we know, but when people start to realize that the Muslim people are really Jewish people, Jewish souls, who were part of the 10 lost tribes, you'll begin to understand how this tikkun takes place, how this correction takes place. The Muslims, the children of Ishmael, will suggest that just as in the days of old, when Elisha and the prophets of Baal, they each build an altar. The Muslims suggest the Jews build an altar and that they will build an altar. And they will bring a sacrifice to Hashem, to what they call Allah. Whichever sacrifice is accepted will be allowed to control the location of the temple. The Muslims agree that if the Jewish sacrifice is accepted, then they will follow the Torah and become B'nai Noach, children of Noach. a righteous Gentile. If their sacrifice is accepted, then the Jews will convert to become Muslims. After all, Hashem is in control. Let him decide. Does it sound like a reasonable request? Why go to war when we can have specific responses that allow us to know what God intends? That is what happened in the days of the prophets, and that is what will happen again and does happen in our lives as spiritual people. We choose to see what we want to see, but Hashem is constantly giving us this information. After much debate and discussions on all sides, everyone agrees to this proposal. The Jews agree, if the Muslims' sacrifice is accepted, they will convert to become Muslim. After all, that would be Hashem's direction, except for one thing. None of the Jews expect that to happen. How could that happen? Hashem is going to accept the false idol? The Muslims are not idol worshippers. That's not the issue. But ultimately, the Temple Mount, the temple, it's promised to the nation of the children of Israel, not to the children of Ishmael. So, we're ready. We're ready to build the temple. We're ready to start the process. So who would think that God is going to accept the Muslim sacrifice? So the Jews said, fine, no problem. We're going to agree. And the Muslims also. If God wants the Jews to control it, then we should be B'nai Noach, that those prophecies are the correct way. It's agreed. The two altars will be built, one for each side. The sacrifices will be brought. In the words of Pharaoh, let it be written, let it be done. The Midrash continues to tell us that the two altars are built and the two sacrifices are prepared and the two sacrifices are performed. The fire does come down from heaven, and God forbid burns the Muslim sacrifice. The Muslim sacrifice is accepted. The Muslims celebrate and go to the Jewish National Nation's government and said, we have a deal, convert. Many Jewish people and disappear into the Judean desert and wage a guerrilla warfare until they are victorious. And that is how the temple will come to be built, according to this Midrash. This Midrash is about certainty and Amalek. This Midrash is about seeing what you expect to see. This Midrash is about listening to your intuition. This Midrash is about what it means to follow a spiritual path. After all, if you see the fire come down from heaven, and there's going to be television cameras recording this, so every person in the world will be exposed to this camera, to this picture. You may have missed the actual sacrifice, but it'll be played over and over and over on CNN and NBC and CBS. and BBC and every other news organization. Al Jazeera on the Arab side. And what will they be saying? God has accepted the Muslim sacrifice. That God must want the Muslims to be the path for people to follow. When you see this fire come down from heaven, and you have the Bible with its prophecies, which will you accept? What will you do? Where is your certainty? God is hiding in nature. Now it's time, because you're in the process, I hope, of cleansing and cleaning for Passover. You're in the process of removing your ego. This midrash I just read in our discussion this morning, and I hope that it elicits consciousness changing. For you to say, how do I know what the Bible says? I'm listening to some rabbi, I'm listening to some teacher tell me what the Bible says. I'll go read it myself. Oh, I have to read it in Hebrew. Do you? It's all about your intuition. It's all about your certainty. What is the message for you? We can talk about, and we're going to continue to talk about, this Nisan Minhag and the meaning of Pesach. Do not believe what your eyes show you in the physical illusion. Or do you follow your heart and the knowledge of your personal experience of the Creator and the plan of creation? Will you get out of your comfort zone and go into the desert, so to speak? Have the whole world against you, because after all, there was an agreement. What does God want you to do? I will tell you, He doesn't want you to fight a war. He doesn't want you to hurt people. In July of 1991, I started to learn Kabbalah. At that time, my teacher made two statements to me. Paraphrasing the Sefer Yetzirah, he said, "The Hebrew letters are the building block of creation, and Hashem gave them to us so they can be used as a tool to control creation." The second thing he said, and you've heard me say it to you, don't believe a word I say. Please do try what is recommended to do and see for yourself if it helps you in your life. As a trained graduate engineer, I had lived my life as if I was from Missouri, which meant if I could see it, I would believe it. Since that time, I have never believed a word my teacher or any other Mekubal has said. I have tried their recommendations in my life and know that they work for me. What is written below is for your benefit. Please read it, try it, and prove it to yourself. By the way, at any step in this process, feel free to ask questions, because questions are the vessel to reveal the light of the answers, to reveal the wisdom of the answers. Ask your questions in this class, ask your questions by email, call me directly, but ask questions. The Kabbalistic Minhag for Nissan. Yes?
I'm so sorry. You said we could call you directly?
Yes.
Okay, will you give a number at the end of the
call? My phone number is 818-613-3457.
818 what?
613-3457.
3-4-5. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
We all know that Kabbalah is a term used to represent the level of secrets, the level of sod in the Torah. We know also that Kabbalah means to receive in Hebrew. Many of us believe, if not know, and it should be K-N-O-W, that Hashem created the worlds in order to share his beneficence with his creations. And his beneficence is only good. There is no pain or bad in the world. There's cleansing, there's correcting, and that's not always a process that feels good. But it is a process that is good for us. Just as the little child has to be taught with a little potchka to the turkey. He feels it's painful. The parent, no, it's just a wake-up call. With the above in mind, the Ari, Ramakanta Gloria, brings two related teachings. One teaching is that control of the Hebrew month is available to us on the Rosh Chodesh of each Hebrew month. That is why we do Rosh Chodesh connections on Rosh Chodesh of every month, to take control of the astrological influences, to empower the good and limit the negative. The second teaching is that there is a Keter, a sea level connection between the first days of Nisan and the Rosh Chodeshim, the heads of the Hebrew months of the year. What this means is that there is a direct correspondence between the first 12 days, and we will come to understand the 13 days of Nisan, and each of the Hebrew months of the year. Therefore, Taurus is controlled by our actions on the second day of Nisan, Sivan by the actions we do on the third day of Nisan, and so forth. I have personally tested this method of control by doing this ritual for a number of years. The Minhag ritual works for me. I know it will work for you, but you have to test that for yourself. What I did was to record which day related to which month and which day I was able to do the actions suggested by the Minhag. I was not able to do the actions in all of the days in Nisan. Then during that year, at the end of each Hebrew month, I reviewed the month and I was able to see the connection between the months that I did the action in Nisan and the months that I did not. Feel free to do something similar. I'm not going to go through each day because we have for the next 12 days, you can see the 12 links covering all 12 months. And then you see on Nisan 13th, you get to review and I'm getting a lot of static, so I'm going to change the controls. If you want to ask a question now, you'll need to say to press *6 to be able to ask a question. I apologize but the recording is going on and it's picking up all of that static. So hopefully the static is controlled, at least from my perspective it is, so the recording will not have it. On the 13th of Nisan, we have the opportunity to correct any day we weren't able to do the Minhag actions. On the 13th day, we're able to control all 12. There are things to do on the 14th day, starting with the Chametz search and the burning of the Chametz in the morning prior to the first Seder. And this is a reminder that the Omer starts the night of the second Seder. But I'm just going to read or connect to, one day. I'm going to click on the link for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and I'm going to go through, actually, I'm not going to do Rosh Chodesh. I'm going to do ER, the second day. I'm going to click on the second day of Nisan, which will explain how to control the month of ER. And you'll notice when you open this up that I'm still talking about the dates from last year. They will be changed prior to Nisan, which starts Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is the night of March 31st and the day of April 1st. And no, it's not April Fool's Day. It's really the opportunity to control your year. According to the teachings of the Ari, one should follow the steps below. The more one learns about this following minhag, this custom, this ritual, the more one will be able to understand it and utilize it. We will deal with it. I'm sorry? We will deal with the permutations of the names of God associated with the month of Iyar. The second thing we will deal with is the letters of the month that created the month of Iyar, the constellation of the bull, of the shore of the Taurus, and the relationships of the tribe of Issachar, which is related to the month of Iyar. Most people in Kabbalah never look at the two letters of the month. They just look at the one letter that is explained in the Sefer Yetzirah. They don't make the connection to the second letter. The Hebrew letters, this is an aside, but it's well worth understanding. The Hebrew letters have three levels, three component levels. There's three mother letters, Aleph, Mem, and Shin, relating to air, water, and fire. There are seven double letters that created the planets, the seven inner planets. And there are 12 individual letters that only have one sound, and they created the constellations. All of that is recorded and built into the Sefer Yetzirah, but you have to use your logic and your seichel, your brains, in order to understand that there are two letters associated with each month. One that created the planet that created the constellation, and one that created the constellation that created the month. There are other correlations in the Sefer Yetzirah for each month. We need to contemplate those. We need to meditate upon those during this day. The second day of Nisan, which is connected to the Rosh Chodesh of the month of Iyar. And just as our action on Rosh Chodesh takes control of the month of Iyar, the action, whatever actions we do on the second day is impacting the month of Iyar in our life. The fourth item, there are Torah verses that come from the Nasi of the tribe of Issachar. They're in the Parasha of Naso, the last 89 verses of the Parasha of Naso. 89 verses, coincidentally, is the gematria of the holiday name Hanukkah. And I hope you realize there's no such thing as coincidence. Each Nasi brought each Nasi, meaning each head of the tribe, brought a dedication for the first 12 days of Nisan, the first time that the Mishkan in the desert was utilized. This dedication is what we are reading in the Parasha of Naso and in our Minhag ritual. The fifth item is that there are character traits described by the name of that Nasi, of that leader of the tribe of Issachar. He is the leader. He is called by these names for a reason. They relate to the traits, personality traits, character traits for the tribe of Issachar, for the month of Taurus, for the month of Iyar. The name of the Nasi for Issachar is Natanel ben Zohar. By learning about that name, we learn about the character traits. We learn about the month. We take control of the month through this information. The sixth item, there's a midrash that explains that these 12 men, chiefs of the tribe, of the tribes, brought exactly the same dedication offering. Exactly the same. And yet the Torah, who could say they each brought the same and here is what it is, in maybe 8 verses, takes 89 verses to tell us what they did. 6 verses for each man. And the Midrash comes and tells us, what were they thinking when they independently decided to bring the same thing and not know that it's the same thing? They didn't know what the other men were going to bring, but they brought it by themselves, independently, exactly the same thing. And the Midrash explains to us what they were thinking. And I have prepared, maybe it's not clear, but it's at this point a way for you to know what they were thinking on each day. That's what we will be looking at. This is the information that we have available to us to understand and take control of the month. The actions we do on the second day of Nisan impacts the month of Iyar. If we yell at somebody on that second day, that's what we're impacting the month of Iyar. If we study a little more Torah, that's what's impacting the month of Iyar. It's up to us. You can clean for Pesach these 12 days. Get rid of your chametz, your ego, limit your ego. Prepare for the Seders. Prepare for the holiday of Passover. Prepare for breaking out of freedom. And you can do this minhag, this custom, this ritual. That's what this is for. That's what this is to teach you. The link that takes you to the introduction is what we've read. It's about that midrash, and it's a general description of what the midrash, of what the minhag, what the ritual is. So for the month of Iyar, for the second day, the permutation of the tetragrammaton, the first of the six steps, is Yud Hey Hey Vav. Aleph Hey Hey Yud. The Ana B'Koach is at the fifth verse for the month of Iyar, and the letters are the Pe and the Vav, which has a gematria of 86. And I mentioned earlier in this class, 86 is nature. 86 is Elohim. The third item is the various relationships. The tribe is Issachar, the sense is thought. The controller is the right kidney. In the monthly blog, there's even three more having to do with the flag, having to do with the stone of that month. You can take a look at each blog and see how the ancients dealt with the month as opposed to the more modern Kabbalists. The donation of each tribe. Here are the verses from the Parasha of Naso. Not Nasi, Naso. By reading these verses, we're taking control. By reading these verses, we're making the connection. There are six verses for each month. Some months, Nisan, there are more verses. But there is never less than these six. And then we can see what the name of Issachar teaches us. It's not complete. There's much more to learn. As we have time, as we get donations that we can apply to automating that procedure so that the words in the Torah that have the same gematria as Issachar would be made available automatically to you when you type in the name Issachar. This is just all part of what our plans are as people make donations to make this happen. When the world is ready, the donations will appear. Nathanael, the name of the Nasi, the leader of the tribe of Issachar. Nathanael ben Zohar. Look at the names. Look at the traits. And then you see the contributions and the consciousness. Why did he give 130 shekels? Each one of them gave 130 shekels. Each one gave a silver bowl. Each one gave a basin with 70 shekels. but each one of the men had a different consciousness and a different reason for bringing these things. There's great learnings in these essences, in understanding the meanings, in understanding that our consciousness controls what happens in our lives. I just, as I said, was just going to do the one day, the one month, so that you would understand what it's involved. Each of the days have their own page. Each of the days has the correct information for that particular day and month. Nisan is the head of the year. It's the first month of the year. It takes control of the other 12. Aviv. Nisan, prior to the Babylonian name of Nisan, it was called the month of Aviv. Aviv means spring. But if we take the letters apart, Aviv is spelled Av, Aleph Bet, Yud Bet. Aviv says, I'm the father of 12. The last two letters, Yud Bet, has a gematria of 12, 10 for the Yud, 2 for the Bet. The first two letters, Aleph Bet, is father. Spring, Aviv, is the father of 12. 12 months. Within Nisan, we have this opportunity to control our year. Take advantage of it. God gave you the tool. The Kabbalah explains the tool. Use it or don't. The choice is yours. I hope you'll use it because I know it works. Does anyone have any questions? And I'm changing the controls back so you can just speak out.
I have a question. Hello, can you hear me?
I just am now able to hear you, so please speak out. What is your question?
I know it's going to sound a little bit like I wasn't paying attention, but I was. Early this year, you mentioned that the world is created to show Shem's presence. And I had a question about something that I observed. And I may not be clear because I have a cold. It's probably not a good idea for me to be talking anyway. But, excuse me. I realized or noticed that trees are essentially all in a state of worship, that the branches are all in a state of reaching up to Hashem or bowing down. And I don't know if it's a fantasy interpretation or it's a measure of what human beings need to be looking at and relating to in terms of where we should be. Does the Rav want to comment on that or just kind of push it aside?
I have no problem commenting on it, but let's start with one understanding. I'm not a Rav. I'm not a rabbi. My name is Hanoch.
Okay.
I'm a student of Kabbalah. I've been studying for 20 years. So please, don't burden me with the responsibility of being a Rav. If I grow to that level, then I grow to that level. But that's a great responsibility.
Okay.
Ultimately, the question you're asking is, what does God want from us? A very simple answer to that that isn't accurate for many people. God wants what he created you to do. He created you as a desire to receive. What he wants from you is different than what he wants from me. What he wants from each human being is different than what he wants from each other human being. Because he created each of us as a different desire to receive. There is no right or wrong answer to what God wants you to do. He's speaking to you. Unfortunately, we have learned not to hear him. The voice of the negative side is louder. The voice of our own egos is louder. But we can quiet our minds. We can learn how to listen. That's called intuition. And then Hashem will speak to you as he is now, but we're not hearing. What does he want from you? As a student of Kabbalah, I've been given information about tools that will help you know what he wants from you. That's what I teach, those tools. I don't teach what I think he wants from you. I teach you to find out yourself what he wants from you. That's what these tools are about. That's what the tools that I teach. And it starts with saying the Ana B'Koach daily. It starts with scanning or reading the Zohar daily. It starts with the Shema daily. It starts with these actions and rituals that cause you to utilize the Hebrew letters to change yourself. That's why the ritual for the month of Nisan is to read these verses, but also to understand the consciousness of the man. To utilize the letters from the Sefer Yetzirah, the Hebrew letters that were used by Hashem to create different aspects of the creation. That's what Hashem wants from us. It is not that he wants us bowing down to him, and it is not that he wants us reaching up to him. He wants, in a general sense, for us to grow to that level where he is, so he can greet us as a friend, not as a parent, not as a creator, but as a co-creator, as a friend. Can you honestly say that you perceive Hashem as your friend? Love your neighbor as yourself, the Torah tells us. Who is your neighbor? Is it the guy living next door to you? Is it the guy across the world from you? Or is it Hashem? Who is your neighbor? It's all about your consciousness. There's an entity on Alpha Centauri. The Zohar tells us this. It says it's not the same as a human being. But there's entities all throughout the universe. Go visit them. That's the meditation. That's what it means to be an Ivri, a Hebrew, someone who crosses over. How do you do that? Through meditation, through looking inside yourself, through cleansing yourself and changing yourself so that you can be on that level where that entity on Alpha Centauri is your friend. Hashem is your friend, and all of you are co-creators. Difficult for people raised in a Western world to have this consciousness, to have this belief. That's why Hashem created the letters for you that we can use as a tool to help us change.
Amen.
But again, this is what my thoughts are. And I am just a student of Kabbalah like you. Maybe I have a little more experience, a little more years of study. But ultimately, Hashem is speaking to you. You just have to listen. You have to learn how to listen. More important, you have to learn how to hear him. I hope I've answered your question. I hope I haven't confused you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Our class is this week, Monday at 5:30 p.m. These times are all Pacific Standard Time. At 5:30 p.m., we will be teaching the third class in our series of classes on the Hebrew letters. And right now we're in the series, this is the third class in the Noterican, the rules of letter substitutions. How when I look at a word like a mitzvah, I see Hashem's name through the letter substitutions. How when I say any given word in Hebrew, echad, I'm also saying many other words that are concealed within the letter substitutions. I don't see that. I don't realize that. If I don't realize it, if I don't understand it, if I don't see it, it's not part of my consciousness. And I'm limiting my relationship with my friends, who sees everything, who knows everything. My friend is Hashem. So come learn with us Monday nights, Monday afternoons. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we're, I believe it's our 45th class, 46th class in advanced reincarnation. We'll probably end up with over 200 classes. We're reading an English translation of the Sefer Yetzirah. Not the Sefer Yetzirah, of the Sha'ar HaGilgulim, the Gates of Reincarnation. Come join us. The recordings of the earlier classes are there. You can join in the middle. There'll be questions, and we'll answer them. Wednesday at 6:30 is our current class in Hillsboro, Oregon. Come join us. We're in the second part of Binding by Striking, that amazing tool. Come learn how to know what to do when you don't know what to do. That's what the class is about this week. When you don't know what to do, what do you do? When you're facing the Sea of the End, the Yam Suf, and you can't see a way out of the trap that you've created for yourself, what do you do? How do you know what to do? That's what the class will teach. Thursday at 7 o'clock, we will teach a Zohar class, the sweet Parashas Tazria. I read the one verse from Tazria. We'll read some sections from Tazria. And just as I read it in Aramaic to bring in the strength and power of the letters and the holiness of the letters, and I give you an English translation from the Sulam, from Rabbi Ashlag, I also help with whatever limited aspects or understanding I have to help. Sometimes it's a help, sometimes it's a hindrance. You'll decide for yourself. But that is the way our Zohar classes are taught. Saturday night at 8:30, it's the first opportunity to connect to the holiness of the Zohar in the frame, in the new frame of the new week's energy. We do that Saturday night. And then next Sunday, we will continue our preparations for Pesach, the holiday, the cleansing. We need to understand why we do a Seder. Seder means order. If you don't do the Seder, does it mean you're not putting order in your life? Come learn. That's what we'll do next Sunday. Any questions before I wish you a wonderful week? Everyone, have a wonderful, peaceful week. And remember, the midrash that I wrote will happen, is happening, in one of the worlds, one of the dimensions. Will it be ours? That's up to us. This is our consciousness. Have a beautiful week.
Thank you.